back in the morning hookup. Hope you guys are having a great hump day like we are. Super excited to bring our guy back with us, Jameson Welch, basketballnews.com. Jameson, what's good, my man?
Oh, not much, man. We're in the best time of the year where we have NBA, we have MLB, playoffs, we have college football, we have NFL, we have college basketball, we got hockey. It's the best time of year.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So because you got opening night last night, obviously there's a lot going on in the NBA. It's a sport. It's a league that never sleeps. You know, it's a lot like where you're at in Vegas. It just never sleeps. When you look at opening night last night, the Bucks get it done. They look pretty darn good with a lot of electricity going on and getting the rings and the banner. And Golden State gets a win in L.A. Thoughts on opening night? Because I asked Will this question. I'll ask you because those opening nights for defending champions can go one of two ways. You have a team coming in that wants to dethrone you right away, or the energy is so good that you play above yourself and win the basketball game.
Well, it just depends. Opening night, I think it's really overblown. Opening night is just opening night. It's one of those things to where, to be honest with you, it's just the first game. It's a lot of rust. It's a lot of basically just getting acclimated. I mean, especially most teams have new people and new players. So it's just one of those things where I don't take much, much importance with it. Lakers have lost like the last five opening night games, so it just kind of is what it is. But it's good to see basketball back, especially with the star players playing.
We're talking to Jameson Welch. You know, Jameson, you mentioned the Lakers, and clearly they made a ton of offseason changes. After watching last night, obviously they got the big three. Who's the next guy out of that group that, you know, has to play good for the Lakers to be successful?
But the Lakers have a big two. Like, that's the first thing I think we all need to kind of come to realization with. As good as Westbrook has been in his career, he is no longer that top-tier player. Like, he's a good player, but he's not an automatic all-star. He's not an automatic all-NBA guy. He is the third best player on the team, but they're not a big three, not at this stage of his career. They got a big two, and it's a very good two. But they're going to need to stay healthy. They're going to need a lot of these younger guys to stay healthy. They're going to need Nunn and Monk. THT, when he gets back, they're going to need those guys to stay healthy and provide contributions on both ends because they're an older team. Older teams typically don't defend well, and that was a huge issue for them last night, especially in the fourth quarter where Golden State couldn't be stopped. And that's where you win ball games on the defensive end. You can't give up 121 points and lose that game at home. It just doesn't work that way, especially when both of your main guys get over 30 points and 10 rebounds. You can't lose those kind of games. So if defense is going to be an issue, then they're going to have to make some tough decisions. And Russell Westbrook, as good as he has been in his career, he's in a different situation now. He's in a situation where he is the third best player. And there's no doubting that. There's no question he is the third best player. So if that's going to be the case, they're going to have to make some adjustments. He's going to have to make some adjustments. And if not, then there may have to be a situation where he may be coming off the bench or playing with a different unit. Or they may have to make a move because this is you got LeBron in year 19, you're all in. You can't afford any mishap. So it's going to be very interesting to see.
Jameson, let's talk about a few situations that are going on. Nets, Kyrie Irving. Obviously, this is a really unique situation for a lot of players, but heavily focused on Kyrie Irving and his situation and his personal choice. His personal choice not to get vaccinated. But also, on the other hand, you've got protocols, whether it be the state, the team, whatever you're at. Give me your thoughts on how that's all going to play out for the Nets. Does he return? I mean, because obviously he is hell-bent on, you know, that's his personal choice. And I always believe that with what's going on right now. That's your choice. But there are consequences, I guess, if you want to call him that he has to pay.
So my opinion on this situation would be this. If I'm the owner of the Nets, I got to trade him. Not because he's a bad player or whatever. It's because he's a distraction, and it's never going to stop. You saw James Harden's reaction at Media Day a couple weeks ago when asked about Kyrie Irving. If you're trying to win a championship, you cannot win a championship with somebody playing flag football because they're not vaccinated on it, you know, like 2 days before your season starts. It's just not a good look. It's not a good situation. I understand he's good friends with Kevin Durant. I get that. Kevin Durant has signed his extension, so he's locked in for the next 4 years. Harden is probably going to sign his as well. To be honest with you, when it comes to Kyrie, as great of a basketball player as he is, He is not a guy that can pull this stuff like this. He's not. Now, again, it is his right. Yes. Either take the vaccine or not take, to not take it. That is his right as an American. However, with that being said, there are consequences when you do not take it in a place like New York. With that being said, if half of your home games are in a place where you can't play, then that's what it is. So he's made a decision. That decision's going to impact the team sooner than later. I personally think if I was the owner, I would move him because it's not going to get better, and he's going to become a bigger distraction as things go on. And not by things he necessarily says or does, but let's say they get off to a rough start. They're missing an all-NBA kind of guy. That's a big chunk. It's not like they're missing a role player or just a random guy. They're missing a top 20 player in the world, and they don't have anyone to replace him with. And that's just a big chunk to be missing, and you don't know when he's coming back. I think that's the biggest issue, is not knowing when he's going to be available, when he's going to play. It's more like, hey, he may sit out the whole season. And if that's the case, you got to move on from him because your window is only so wide in the NBA and sports in general. Like right now, the Nets probably have this year and next year to figure out to get it done. After that, it's someone else's time.
We're talking to Jameson Welsh with BasketballNews.com. Jameson, yesterday we got news about Ben Simmons, and it just did not go well at practice. Got kicked out, suspended for tonight's game. You know, what's his motivation here? What is he trying to do, and how do you think this whole situation pans out?
Well, we've seen guys try to get out of town before. We've seen, you know, James Harden last year in Houston. We've seen Andrew Bynum way back when. We've seen Jimmy Butler a few years ago. If guys want to get out of town, they're going to get out of town. Like that's something that we've seen before. However, he ain't good enough to pull the stunt off. Like, as talented as he is, his resume ain't one to be able to pull a stunt like this off, to be able to disrupt practice and do all this kind of stuff. In my eyes, anyway, like, he's a good player, you know, very, very talented and can do a lot of things, but come on, man. Like, the pull stunts like this, this is for the top of the top guys in my eyes. If you're going to sabotage the practice and be a nuisance, like LeBron, KD, Steph, Kawhi, you know, even Embiid, I'd be like, all right. But, like, Ben Simmons, but it's bad. Like, the Sixers are to blame for this. The Sixers are a franchise that has coddled him. They have not done enough as a franchise for his development. And if you notice someone's not going to change, then you got to proactively move someone. You can't just be reactive and, oh, he's not shooting free throws again. Oh, he's not shooting jumpers. But eventually, you got to say enough is enough. And you can't wait till it gets to this point. So I blame Philly more than I blame Ben Simmons. They're, or at worst, they're both equally at fault. But the franchise doesn't get enough flack from my eyes. They have mishandled this situation since day one.
When you look at it as well, do you think this is hurting Ben Simmons now? The way he's acting, because it ain't going to stop, most likely, that you feel right now. And will Philly be, because Philly's been asking for a lot for Ben Simmons. What are they going to have to end up just, I mean, are they going to end up having to settle if they trade him and settle whatever they get?
It really depends, because the NBA is a very funny league. Injuries happen, teams under and overachieve, so you just never know. I'm Philly, I don't rush and do anything, but I send them home. I tell him to wait at home until we're ready to do something. I don't want him around my team. I don't want him around the facilities. Too much of a distraction, too much of a liability. I don't want him coming in and playing a game and saying his lower back hurts, and now he's out for 2 months or whatever. I don't want that. I would tell him to sit at home while we figure this thing out and go from there. That's what I would do if I was the GM and owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. However, will it get better? Will it get worse? It is what it is. It doesn't get any better than him not taking a layup or dunk versus Trae Young. That's the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, that by far is the worst. You can't recover from that in my eyes. And unfortunately, things have not gone the way that Philly has done. All right, so Doc Rivers comes out after that game, basically says he's unsure if Ben Simmons could be the guy going forward. Joel Embiid basically says something similar. Once you do that, you can't recover from that. You can't come back from that. There's no way. So now everyone's in a situation where the team messed up. Ben doesn't want to be there. The value's low. So lose-lose for everyone involved.
We're talking to Jameson Welsh. Jameson, you know, the Bulls, they did a lot in the offseason. They got Lonzo, Caruso, Vucevic. Obviously, the odds right now to win the finals is like, it's not, you know, there's a lot of value there if you want to go that way. But how can the Bulls shock some people this year?
Well, they're much better. They have some veteran guys. They got DeMar DeRozan as well. The DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine combination is going to be interesting because they both do a lot of the same things. So I'm going to be curious to see how they complement each other. But getting Lonzo there is probably what they needed. They needed a guy that doesn't need to score a lot to be effective. They needed a guy that can move the ball, play defense, hit timely shots. They needed that guy more than anything. And they got him finally. They paid a big price for him, but they got him. I'll be interested to see how it works out. I'm very curious to see how they defend as a team. Vucevic is not a great defender. Neither is LaVine or DeRozan. So I'm kind of curious how that's going to work. But the key to the Bulls is this. Patrick Williams is a second-year guy. Mm-hmm. He's the key. Like, if he shows out, if he shows progress, they're in good shape going forward. If he regresses or is kind of shaky, then they have some issues going forward.
Jameson, we'll have a little fun here. We're going to go. We know it's just starting, but in your opinion, everything goes well. I'm going to go through and just name the divisions, and you give me who wins each division. Will and I did this yesterday, and you're the expert here, so we're gonna write your picks down and hold you to it, okay? All right, here we go. Starting the East, the Atlantic. Who wins the Atlantic?
The Nets.
Yes. Good. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. That was an easy one for that one. The Central. Who wins the Central?
That's the Bucks.
Okay. Yeah. The last one in the East, the Southeast. Who wins the Southeast? I think that's a fun one.
Give me Miami. They got to stay healthy, but give me Miami.
That's who I picked. I took Miami out of there. All right, moving over to the West right quick. That Northwest.
That's a tough one. That is like Portland, OKC, yep. Minnesota, right?
Minnesota, Denver, Utah.
Utah.
Okay. I think this is a fun one, too. The Pacific. That's the Golden State, Clippers, Lakers, Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet. And the Kings are talented.
Yep.
They're not winning the division, but they're talented. They're not an easy out by any means. Let's go. You know what? The Suns probably win the division. I don't think they'll be the best team in the division, but they are the team that has the most coming back, that's like player-wise. So I'll give me the Suns.
And then the last one in West, the Southwest.
Oof.
Dallas, Houston, Memphis, the Pelicans, or San Antonio.
Memphis. Give me Memphis. Memphis is going to be very good this year.
We're talking to Jameson Welsh. Jameson, you know, with the play-in tournament, there's a lot of spots for teams to make the playoffs. But who's a team that people would be surprised that they did not make any of that this year?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, like who's a team that people would maybe be surprised that, you know, they're not going to make the postseason? Who's a team that you think is not going to do well this year that a lot of people think, okay, yeah, they'll make the playoffs?
As good as Luka is, Dallas is always an issue. You know, that's one of those things where things got to go right, and they depend on him a whole lot. They have a new coach. The roster really isn't that great. I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs, but it would not surprise me if they were to miss it. That Luka has to do a whole lot, and if he's not on, they struggle. So it would not surprise me if that didn't work out. Also in the East, the East is so difficult because of, you know, it's the East. It's one of those things where, it's easier to make. So, you know, it's not that much to fall out of. Technically, the Hornets made the playoffs in a sense. Like, they didn't make the final playoffs, but they made the playoffs. The Knicks will make the playoffs. The Nets are going to make the playoffs. Obviously, the Bucks will. The Pacers are interesting. They have a weird roster with a lot going on. I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were like an 8th seed or something like that. Like, don't be surprised if something happens. They just have a lot of pieces, but no stars. So whenever you have a situation like that, you can never really tell which way it's going to go.
And then touch on the Nuggets for me, Jamison. I mean, they're going to be without Jamal Murray for, I mean, could he miss the entire regular season?
Don't know if he misses the whole regular season. I think he comes back in the second half.
Okay.
But the key for him is going to be he's not the number one guy on the wing there anymore. I think he's better than Michael Porter Jr., but I don't think Michael Porter Jr. thinks that. So you're going to have a guy that's going to be shooting about 18, 20 shots a night. How is that going to work when Jamal gets back? Because Jamal Murray's used to being able to do what he does, and that could be a friction point. Denver's roster is actually pretty loaded when you look at the names and the roster they have, but does it all fit, and can they defend well enough? I don't know. So we'll see what happens. It's a lot going on. But Denver's a team that could come out the West. It would not surprise me if they came out the West. They have enough firepower to do so. And I think this year is not going to be a traditional year. I think you're going to see a lot of random stuff happening. I think you're going to see a situation where there's no odds-on favorite, like there's no super team that's better than everyone else. So if Denver gets healthy and gets right, they can come out the West for sure.
Again, we're speaking to Jamison Welch, basketballnews.com. James, I want to ask you about Pop in San Antonio. We know what Pop was and what they've been. What's the outlook for San Antonio going forward? Because obviously they fall off the pace in the West with everything that's gone on there. And then what's the outlook for San Antonio future and for Pop?
It's weird because they're in a situation where they're kind of rebuilding. He's in his 70s. Mm-hmm. Normally coaches in their 70s don't coach that much longer. He just finished the Olympics, and I always thought that was the barometer. So since that's passed, come and gone, I just see him this could be the last year. Like, it's not like he got has a 3-year or 5-year plan. It's one of those things where it's on him to kind of pull the plug on which way he wants to go. So we'll see. I do think that he's going to leave that situation in good hands, though. I don't see him leaving in a chaotic situation. I see him, whoever takes over that job, is going to have a better transition in most situations. But we'll definitely see. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he woke up one day and said, you know what, I'm tired, I'm done. And that'd be cool. But at the same time, I expect him to end at the end of a season, whether it's this season or next season.
We're talking to Jamison Welch. Okay, Jamison, it's early. You know, the season's just getting down. Give us your prediction, man. Who's winning this thing altogether?
A healthy Lakers team gets to the finals. Just with LeBron and Anthony Davis in a series, it's just very difficult to go against that fully healthy in the series. There's so much that goes on the way basketball's played in the playoffs. Those two in a series give anyone a problem. There's just so many different matchup issues and advantages they have. Out east, I mean, if Kyrie ain't playing, Milwaukee makes the finals. Milwaukee's the best team out east. If Kyrie's going to be playing flag football on Sundays and doing everything else but playing basketball, Milwaukee's going to be. Giannis right now is the best player on earth. And what I mean that is on offense and defense, he is both all-league on both ends. Like, get you 30 and, like, 13 on offense, and he plays all-league defense the way he plays defense. Now, he's not a great man-to-man defender, but he's a great team defender. So he does a lot to disrupt the opposing team's offense. So when you're doing that on a nightly basis, to me, that makes you the best player because you're doing everything you can. Durant's probably the best offensive player in the league still, but Giannis is the best overall player in the league right now.
Jameson, something else we did not hit on. You mentioned the Suns and they could win the Pacific, but they've got a situation going on with Ayton right now with not getting the extension done. How does that play out?
So for somebody who's worked for Robert Sarver in the past in a different non-sports occupation, Robert Sarver is extremely cheap. Robert Sarver is a guy that once had a Go Green campaign to save money on water bottles for employees. And he did that amongst all his businesses. So, again, nothing shocking with the Suns. He did say way back when that not signing Joe Johnson to an extension in 2005 was a huge mistake. I'm going to tell you right now, DeAndre Ayton, no matter what people think about him or how people view him, a young big guy that played well in the playoffs and is not afraid of the moment and pretty much held his own for most of the playoffs outside like the last couple games, you don't mess around with his money. You do not. Because you draft the guy number one with the way the salaries are, you pretty much lock yourself in to paying that guy the max. You can't get shy when the time is due. It's like ordering a nice dinner and getting mad when the check comes and you start disputing the charge. It doesn't work that way. You drafted the guy number one. He's panned out. You got to pay him. Not paying him and paying everyone else on that roster is a really bad precedent. I like Mikal Bridges a lot. I think he's a very good role player for what they do. However, paying him before you're paying DeAndre Ayton is a slap in the face. Paying Chris Paul at this big age, the kind of money he got, before taking care of DeAndre Ayton is a slap in the face. If I'm Bill Duffy, I'm basically looking for a trade. If you're going to play games like this, we can go to another place. Like, he's done more than most guys his age, especially in the playoffs. Like, that's the thing. We always question, can young players play well in the playoffs? He proved he could. And they do this? Nah. And then Phoenix's track record with this. It wouldn't be as bad if Phoenix didn't have a track record of this, but they're known for pulling stunts like this. And if that's the case, we got to go.
Jameson, before we get you out of here, man, we do got to mention some baseball. Dodgers get a big win last night.
Can we not talk about it? He's a Dodger fan. I'm a Braves fan.
I know. We got to get his thoughts on it.
Can we not talk about it? By the way, I just want to know where all the fans were going when it was 5-2.
I'm going to tell you where. All right, so first of all, the game started at 2:08 p.m. West Coast time, which is right before peak traffic starts out west. Peak traffic is like 3 to 7 p.m. And it's downtown L.A. where the Lakers are playing right down the street. So traffic's already bad in general. So times it by 5 yesterday. Mm-hmm. People are trying to get home and trying to get to the next destination. That's what happened. Like, and that's why we are late to stuff and we leave early is because of traffic. It's not because we think we're cool or trying to make a scene. It's because the traffic is so bad that it impacts your life. That's why people move out of California, because they want to enjoy more time in their life. That's why I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we don't have a lot of traffic like that. So I totally understand why people left. I wouldn't have left personally. If I'm paying for playoff tickets, I'm staying until the final out. But that's just me. Everyone is different. But the reason why people left is because of traffic. Traffic is really bad. It's really unbearable. The reason why people are late to games is because the traffic is really, really bad. The Dodger Stadium is located, basically in downtown Los Angeles. So with everything going on, you have a bunch of different freeways to get to the game, but it's so many people in L.A., it's very difficult to get to places on time. It's just how it is. There's no way around it.
James, I got a couple more for you. Obviously, being out in Vegas, the Raiders. We had a crazy situation with Coach John Gruden with some very insensitive stuff going on, and he should be gone and probably never be anywhere associated with a sport again. What's the mood like now? They've flipped it over. They got a decent little roster, man. Carr's playing. He's been playing really well. Obviously, they dropped a couple of games there. But what's the overall feeling about the Raiders right now going forward?
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the one thing that's about the Gruden situation is will they unleash all the rest of those emails?
Exactly.
That could be a big thing. Like, will the rest of those come out? And I think they probably should. I know the Players Association is aiming for that. With Gruden, I never thought Gruden was a great coach. Like, that was my opinion. Even in Tampa. Like, Tampa team, that team was already ready to go. Like, he wasn't the guy to push them over the top. It just kind of was circumstance in a sense. Like, they were ready. They were a contender well before he got there. He just got there, and they played a later team that had a lot of internal issues, and they won a Super Bowl. And after that Super Bowl, they didn't do anything since. So for me personally, I was never high on Gruden. They gave him $100 million for a guy that only has one ring. Like, Bill Belichick doesn't have that kind of contract. So that kind of tells you what the Raiders situation was. But they got out of that contract, and they're going to be better going forward. But the biggest key is, Gruden doesn't have final control anymore. Mm-hmm. That was the issue. If you look at the roster and the issue they've had with some of the positions and some of the roster signings and whatnot, that's all Gruden's final say. And you look at it, it's like, something isn't right. Now they'll have a different voice and a different leadership going forward, and it'll be very interesting. Lewis Riddick, who is on ESPN, is a great candidate. He breaks down everything very well, very thoroughly, for even the casual fan to understand. It'd be a good thing if they were to hire him to bring him in to kind of clean things up and run the show there. He'd be very good with the assets Raiders have.
Jameson, we really appreciate your time. I do want to get your thoughts on, there's two big jobs opening up in college football. The USC job's open right now, and, of course, LSU is going to be open after the season. Looking at those two jobs, two big programs, which one would you rather go to as a coach?
Well, I'd rather have USC. Not because it's a better job. I think LSU is the best job in the country. But, one, the coach is getting fired after winning a championship a year and a half ago. Secondly, in the SEC, it's different. Like, the pressure is different. It's smaller town, so everyone knows what you're doing. The coverage is different. In L.A. right now, USC's football is still huge, but you got two really good NFL teams. You got the Lakers and Dodgers with megastars on them. So you can kind of do your stuff and not be in the front page of the paper. And Baton Rouge, that is, LSU football is Baton Rouge. If LSU football didn't play, Baton Rouge may go under. So I would want to be the head guy with all that scrutiny every day, every year. However, I do think it's not as bad as Bama or some other programs, but it's up there. Like, the pressure is up there. However, the one thing I will say is two very suspect coaches won titles there. And that's something I don't think you can have at any other place but LSU.
Suspect is a great way to put it. Joe, last one. Who ends up at USC, you think?
I've heard Franklin, and then someone told me yesterday that may not happen. I've heard Joe Brady. It won't be Mel Tucker. He may get LSU. Mario Cristobal is not a good X and O coach. He can recruit, though, but his X and O's aren't good. You know what? I heard this a couple years ago. If they go back to Bob Stoops, because he was close to taking the job a couple years ago, I could see that happening. We'll see what happens. He's a little older. You know, who knows? But I can see if James Franklin is not the guy, then I can see Bob Stoops. And if that doesn't happen, man, it'll be very interesting. I know they like Oregon State's head coach a lot, too. He's a little bit different. But, yeah, it'll be very, very interesting. But they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to go in the pockets. They have the money, but they're going to have to pay no more paying $3 to $4 million for a guy. They're going to have to go pay real coaching salary.
Do you think it's important? Sorry, I got one more just because it's all out there. Like, do you think it's important they land a big name with Chip Kelly being at UCLA?
Well, Chip Kelly at UCLA is not the issue. Mario Cristobal recruiting at Oregon is a bigger issue than Chip Kelly being across town. Chip Kelly hasn't really done anything at UCLA, so he's not really a threat. He doesn't recruit very well, and they lose games they should win. But they lost to Fresno State at home. So no one's really worried about UCLA like that. Right now, the big issue is Oregon. Oregon is the big issue in the conference for USC to worry about. Now, with all that being said, not necessarily a big name, but just a stable coach. Because if you have a stable coach at USC with the advantage they have, they're fine. The issue is they haven't had a stable coach since Pete left, and that was like 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's been the issue. It's not necessarily the job is fine. The quality of coaches from Lane to Sark to Helton to Orgeron, all those guys have had a lot of issues on and off the field. So if that's the case, well, Helton hasn't really had any off the field, but he's had a lot of issues on the field. But for the most part, those have all been unstable guys on the field, and it's shown. The records have shown. It's been a lot of instability within the program.
James, man, we appreciate your time, man. It's glad to have you back, man. We'll catch up soon, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man, and we'll talk real soon.
Man, thank y'all for having me. Always appreciate it.
Jameson Welch, basketballnews.com right there. Also, you can follow him at the THEE Jameson.
Good to hear him again.
On Twitter. It's great to hear. We'll have him back. We'll have him back. I know we're working some scheduling stuff out. Things have changed with him a little bit, so we're working some schedule stuff out, but he'll be a regular mainstay as we get back and started with the NBA season.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the NBA season, he talked a lot about the Lakers, and I was surprised to hear that he thinks if they're healthy, they're in the finals. And it's stupid for me to kind of disagree with that. I you know, because I've always been high on LeBron. I always think LeBron in the playoffs is unstoppable. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's interesting. He's believing in what they're trying to do there.
Yeah. So all right, let's take a break. We come back. We'll do a hot spot. We'll kind of wrap up the show.